And excuse me, this call is now being recorded.
Thank you very much. As it has indicated to us, this call has been recorded. Welcome to the legal substance call number 9, which was just a couple of hours later than our call this morning, evening, or night, depends on the part of the world you're in. And I'd like to kick off and first by kindly ask you to keep this as short as possible because we need to do a hard stop at 55 minutes past the hour so the staff can clean up the room for the next meeting, which is for Work Body 1. So let's try to keep this as short as possible. And well, with regards to the first point of the agenda, which is working with counsel, I'd like to listen to the various stuff that, of course, you may have in the group. I think that the mail that you sent, David, was excellent, and also some points raised by Greg Shatton were also very good in this. I know I promised to send the compiled document with all the questions before our call, but I wasn't just able to locate all the questions that I have received so far, so I apologize for that, and you will have this document later today, so we can begin taking a look at those questions. And, of course, I assume that we would be then prioritizing these questions and classifying them so we then can, in turn, assign them to the lawyers. But I'd like to open the floor for comments on how we should work with counsel. My initial approach to this was, of course, to assign all the questions raised to the lawyers via a memorandum that would formally get them working into the questions. And so far, this has kind of worked in some way, but I feel that we need to provide, of course, more details and more context to the lawyers so they can better advise us. I see David McCauley's hand is up. David, could you please take the floor?
Thank you, Leon. And I think that the memo that you sent was absolutely fine. My comments and my suggestion that we put on the agenda a discussion about how we work with counsel really stems from the overnight mail traffic and this morning's discussion. And I just think it's difficult to work with two law firms where they're in a where they're in an equal relationship. And I've seen the mail from Holly and Rosemary in the interim after they've seen my agenda item. And I understand all that. And I also have seen Greg's mail. I personally come down on the side of thinking, however, that we should give the lead to one of the firms, and I would suggest Sidley for the reasons I stated. And I think that the call was a little bit more difficult than it needed to be this morning just for that reason. And while I understand that the council can work well together collaboratively among themselves, I think that we should be in charge, and we should look to one of them to sort of be the party that we speak to principally. And this is no criticism whatsoever, as I said in my mail following the call. This is no criticism at all of anybody on the call. It's just a way I think that might be a better way to organize it. And then finally, for the transcript, this was David McCauley speaking. So thanks, Leon. That's my comment.
Thank you very much for this, David. This is very useful. And I do agree that the call today was a little bit chaotic, and we should definitely avoid that since we are very short in time on all of our calls. And I would agree if you asked me to assign Sidley as the lead firm here, but I would like to, of course, have a larger audience ask this question so they could agree on this. I mean, I don't want to give the impression that the executive team is in charge of things and is bypassing the larger community, which, of course, is not the intent. So I do agree that Sidley has the advantage, as I said in the email that I replied to you, that they are working with the CWG as well, and I think this would favor a more holistic view of the needs from both working groups and how they can fit into each other's work. So I wouldn't see a problem on having Sidley leading the efforts from both law firms. My only concern would be maybe time duplication. I wouldn't want to risk duplicating time. So we would, of course, need to iron out those details with the firms. So we're very careful how they coordinate amongst themselves so we don't get duplicated hours in our bill. And I see Athena has her hand up. Athena, could you please take the floor?
Yes. Can you hear me? This is Athena.
We do.
So thank you. So I agree with both points made. It is, I think, for the sake of the time and of our, in order for us to have smooth communication and cooperation and so on, it is important that we get one voice from the law firms. And not having them disagreeing on a mailing list, I think, or not having them, resolving some internal, some issues between themselves in the court. And I think it makes sense to have Sidley leading this effort. They have a better understanding, of course, of the situation. So I don't think that if we ask them to have one view, one voice, we will minimize the input from both legal firms. It will just make things easier in terms of communication. Thank you.
Thanks, Athena. So if I'm okay, what I'm hearing is, or what I'm listening is, that we should try to have a single voice from the legal advice, but this, of course, goes the other way, our original intent of having two law firms and having Adler having the primary source for California law advice and Sidley being the secondary source for this and, of course, primary for all other concerns. So maybe a hybrid approach would be asking Sidley to lead the efforts and, of course, having an open door so we could ask in very specific questions the views or the particular views of Adler, so we could have, of course, some way of comparing the views between each law firm, or maybe when maybe when Sidley or Adler don't come to an agreement and any of the law firms feels that it would be of use for us to know that there are dissenting views with regards to one answer, maybe then they should come forward and just tell us that they are dissenting in the way they are approaching the answer to any one question, and they should state that in their reply. So I think this would also work. I see Greg Shadon's hand is up. Greg, please take the floor.
Thank you, Leon. I think we're going in the right direction here. I think we may be overthinking things a bit, in a sense. I think that we should give the law firms who have worked together in the past flexibility to present to us. I think that it makes good sense, especially given the CWG role that Sidley's playing and the fact that they've, been a little further ahead, for them to take the lead. But I don't think that means that, that we're not going to hear from Adler. I think that they do need to harmonize, but not necessarily homogenize their thinking, where there is some nuance and, harmony sometimes involves interesting chords and not just unisons. So I think we can try to get the best from both by letting them each do what they do best and not worry too much about whether we have you know, a single unison voice versus a harmonized voice versus, you know, hearing from one firm versus the other, you know, having us dictate how they're coming back to us. The only thing that I think, you know, both firms know is that we want this to be cost-effective and we want it to be time-sensitive. So I think that avoiding artificial circumstances will meet both of those objectives. The good thing here is that we are being organic, we're being flexible, we're evolving in how we do this, and that the firms are partnering with us completely in doing so. So, as I say, we're on the right track, but let's just not overthink the situations too much. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. Next in the queue is David McCauley. David, could you please take the floor?
Thank you, Leon. It's David McCauley. I think I agree with much of what Greg just said, but I disagree a little bit with what is being said in the chat. And I'll just say this, and I recognize this is just one person's perspective, but I would like to dictate one thing to the law firms, and that is to dictate to Holly that her firm is in the lead. She should coordinate the legal advice, get particular California advice from Rosemary and Greg as needed, and let us know if there's a problem. I'm not so sure that a difference in perspective, as Robin put it, is what we're in here for. I think that would confuse us, frankly. My preference would be that we have them speak back to us with one voice, although that voice can be voiced by a number of different partners. And thank you.
Thanks, David. Yes, just to be clear, we're not trying to cross-examine any of the firms. What we're trying to do here is that, as we said in our initial call, what we would be doing is when we have reasonable doubt to or we find some answer not enough clear to us, or someone has the feeling that there might be another way, then we could also go to the second law firm to just confirm or get another point of view on the answer given or on the question raised, so we could enrich our views and take the best decisions for the good of the group, of course. Okay? And, yes, I know Jordan Carter is stating in the chat, wouldn't we want to know if there were different views? And I agree. I think that if there were different views, it would be important for us to know that, and that's why I think the approach of having Sidley, and I'm just thinking out loud here, and I want to know what you think. Having Sidley lead the efforts from the law firms, going back to Adler, of course, with regards to California law, and having a single voice would work, but it would be useful to know when there is a dissenting view from any of the law firms, they would need to specify that there are dissenting views and, of course, elaborate on the reasons for the dissenting views. Would everyone be okay with this approach? Okay, I see Jordan is okay. Could we please signal with our green tick to see whether we have an agreement on this so we can move forward and we have this as an agreement of working with counsel?
Have a good.
Okay, I see David dropped. So, David, just a brief update is that we're taking agreement on having Sidley as the lead firm with a single voice from the lawyers so we don't get confused, but also having them obliged to provide us with information whenever dissenting views arise. So if there are dissenting views, the law firms should tell us that they have dissenting views and, of course, give us the reasoning or the rationale for these dissenting views so we can be aware of them. And I see Robin, is, she doesn't like the term single voice. Well, maybe a unified voice would work. I think I don't see this as a major problem unless you want to please elaborate on the reasons why you see this problematic. Robin, could you please expand a little bit on your thoughts?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. No, I sort of was in agreement with what I was hearing from Greg about how having two different voices, maybe one being a baritone and one being a soprano, could actually lead to a much richer understanding of the overall issue, the harmony analogy that Greg had. So I mean, I'm not opposed to having sort of a lead firm, but I'm just sort of weary of the term single voice. Like, it means, you know, everybody's got to get in line and maybe not view, or excuse me, not air their concern because it's in opposition with what the single voice has decided is to be the voice, is to be the answer. So it just seems a little bit like it's a little too discouraging of other opinions, but it's really just the term, I guess. I don't know. That's my view.
Thanks, Robin. And you're right. I mean, the term might seem troublesome, but I think the right word would be harmonized, as Greg just said. And as I see it, it would be an exercise of having the law firms work in a collaborative way between them to provide us with the advice they come up to. And where there were dissenting views, they would be obliged to tell us that there are dissenting views and, of course, elaborate on the rationale that they have for dissenting on their views. Is that right? I see Craig's hand is up again. Is that an old hand or a new hand, Craig?
Hi, it's Greg again.
It's Greg Chat, and I think we're, you know, again kind of overthinking things. I think the law firms will work this out in terms of, first off, I think the term, you know, lead firm, which is a good thing, but it's really, that's a procedural lead in terms of just keeping things running. It's not the matter that if the two firms have a difference of views that they'll just say we're the lead firm and you know you can stop talking now. I don't think that's what this is about. I don't think that's what the law firms would think it's about. So, you know, I think primarily the firms are complementary to each other. So I don't think it's a matter of kind of hearing from one firm and then going to the other firm for a second opinion on the same thing. I don't think that's what we're looking to do, but I do think that, you know, given the complementary nature of their experience and the ways in which, you know, Adler and Colvin's incredible depth and fluency in California non-for-profit law and working with so many California-based nonprofits over the years of, you know, with various issues, you know, is complemented by you know, Holly's overall governance expertise and, you know, all the experience of, and Sharon's and everybody else's, you know, broad-based experience. And I think what we'll get is a richer version of the advice because we're going to be able to, you know, triangulate depth and breadth across, you know, a whole variety of experiences. And again, I think I think this discussion is becoming kind of academic. I'd actually like to, see it. You know, it would be nice to know what the law firms themselves thought. Obviously, we don't have them here, but I think they'll be able to do just fine. And I think that we're going to you know, it's kind of like speculating about, you know, how kids are going to run around in a playground. They tend to organize themselves a lot better than the parents organize them. It's a terrible analogy, but I think it's still a matter of that we're, I think we're getting the right sense of all of this. You know, I don't care if it's coordinating firm or leading firm, but lead firm. But I think it's understood between the firms probably better than we can ever articulate it ourselves, how they should work together, what each of them brings to the table that will get us timely, sophisticated, creative, useful, compelling advice. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. And just to add what you just said, I think that Seedly is de facto leading these efforts at the present time. I mean, they have been very proactive and they have been very into what we're doing. So I think they are already running this. It's just that we hadn't had an agreement in the team, but they're already doing this. So I think, as you said, we all seem to have the same sense on this. And well, then the next step would be, of course, to let the law firms know about what we just discussed here, and have them let coordinate between themselves as they see fit, and of course with the conditions that we just stated here, that whatever there were dissenting views, they should let us know, and of course put forward their rationals. Okay, so yes, now we just need to get out of the way. Exactly. So well, the next agenda item, dealing with questions. Okay, so the proposed working method so far is to gather questions from the larger community, either via the general mailing list or via the chat or the calls or the meetings, and of course compile them into a single document. This document is so far the legal scoping document, and then we should go through the different questions just to double check that first they are in the scope of our charter, and second, that there is no duplicate question added to the document. So at this point, I see David McCauley's hand is up. David, could you please take the floor?
Thank you again, Liam. It's David McCauley. that's another thing that I put on the agenda, or asked to be put on the agenda, and my thinking was, I think I'm in alignment with Greg on this because I saw his mail later, is it's to put the questions in one place where they're sort of discreetly able to be seen as the questions that exist, and it's not so much to pepper the lawyers with questions, but to know that we've gathered the questions that the community has put forward, and I think it would be helpful to us to, you know, see themes that are popping up among these questions and help us hone our thinking on it. And then when we ask the lawyers if they do a holistic approach or whatever they do, we could say, be aware of the questions that the community has, but don't answer any specific questions unless we ask you to answer specific questions. That was my thinking, and that's my comment. Thank you.
Thanks, David, which I think it was kind of pretty much what I said to Holly today in the chat, that unless we formally assigned any questions to them via the memorandum, they shouldn't be answering any other questions, but rather just be conscious that those questions were being raised inside the community. Greg, I see your hand up. Please take the floor.
Thanks. I'm going to take the liberty of combining the questions and the holistic approach together, because I think what we need to think about is the overall reasons that we need legal advice here, and the priority in which we need to prioritize the kind of work and what the law firms are doing for us. I think the number one priority is working, I think, with the working parties or work teams to try to make sure that we are putting a legally viable proposal together and that we understand the pros and cons of particular approaches and that we get help in refining how those approaches work, you know, from the legal point of view. You know, we, of course, will need to help them with some of the historical nuances and facts of how ICANN works and why it works that way and some to some extent how it used to work without getting bogged down in history. It seems to me that some of the questions that are being asked are very much on point with that sort of thing. Others of the questions tend to feel to me like they are that they need to be answered in order to quiet the discomfort or to dispose of certain repeated but essentially non-substantial concerns that get raised. And in the end, all of those are legitimate. And we need to think about how to deal with that. But I think that questions that are being asked by people who are not really participating in the process of preparing the proposal and who are kind of just sitting in the stands and complaining about, well, complaining is too negative a word, commenting or expressing concerns, those questions are important, but they're not as important as the questions being asked by those who are in drafting the proposal day to day and who need guidance and affirmation and or correction of what they're doing. So I think we need to watch out for the kind of FAQ nature of dealing with the disquiet of some people with what's happening or the lack of or understanding. And in the end, those need to be satisfied. But, you know, the primary purpose is to get to the point where we have a proposal. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. This is very useful. And next in queue is Athena Fakuli. Athena, can you please take the floor?
Yes, this is Athena. I will follow Craig's example, and I will combine the two agenda items as well. I pretty much like Holly's suggestion earlier today of, you know, having like concrete, of putting like concrete suggestions and mechanisms for review. And from my understanding, we have, let's say, two issues here. We have the mechanism, the powers, community empowerment, and we have the different structures that are also proposed that would provide this empowerment in different ways. So I think right now we should move on and ask them about this mechanism, how each structure that is proposed could better give this empowerment every time that we talk about, and what also we can indicate some aspects we are looking into. For example, whether a mechanism or a structure will require, you know, less changes or more changes, how long this proposal will take to be done, and so on. I think this should be, let's say, the next step. Of course, there are many other questions that might not be right now asked directly to the lawyers, and I pretty much agree with the suggestion of having a wiki page and keep track of these questions and note that we keep them. Right now we are dealing with a bigger picture, and these questions will be taken into account and are taken into account. They're not ignored, only they're a little bit separate. They'll be looked into a bit later. That was my suggestion. Thank you.
Thanks, Adina. So we can move forward saying that we will do this exercise with regards to the questions, not only compiling them, but also prioritizing them and trying to fit them into the different proposals that are now put on the table, so we can provide a richer context to the lawyers and we can build into this holistic view and this holistic approach from them to us, so we can better guide our working party one, working party two, and working party on the stress test as to whether what we're doing or what they're doing is legally viable. I see Greg Shatton hand this up again. Greg, is that an old hand or a new hand? Oh, that's an old hand. So I see we have with us Cher Langdon Orr, and I see we have also Jordan Carter. And, well, I would just like to remind our rapporteurs, and I think Steve Del Bianco, he's also here. I would like to remind our rapporteurs to please provide us with the legal needs that your working party is envisioning at this point, so we can, of course, turn this into questions that can be then answered, or at least some narrative that we can provide to the lawyers so they can provide us with their legal expertise on whether we're going on the right track or we should make any adjustments to either the mechanisms or the powers that we're looking to fit into our proposal. So are there any other comments with regards to dealing with questions and considering the holistic approach, which resulted into merging 2 points of the agenda? Okay. So with that, we would go into the fourth and final point of the agenda, which is the timeline. I don't know if we can display the latest version of our timeline here in the AWS Connect room. I see an upload is in progress, and I see Greg Shatton's hand is up. So please, Greg, could you please take the floor?
Sure. This is actually I raised my hand before we switched to timeline, so I'll go back to kind of the end of the previous conversation, if you'll indulge me.
No, of course. I'm sorry. I slided the participants.
That's okay. I'm used to being ignored and marginalized.
Not at all. Not at all.
No, usually so quiet that it happens naturally. In any case, the point I was going to make is that we need to stop thinking about questions so much, and more about advice, more about, I think that the questions tend to intermediate between the lawyers and the work. The work is, it's important to the people who are doing the work put voice to their questions, but I think that giving the lawyers the questions without the underlying documentation where the questions, from which the questions are arising, is to remove context and to take away nuance and the ability to really help us craft our answers. You know, I don't think the lawyers are agnostic to what we come up with. They have no access to grind. So they're just going to help us do what we want to do better. And I think that, you know, we should not just be presenting them with questions. That's why I said in the chat that the rapporteurs are, in a sense, the next link in the lawyer-client chain. In a sense, the rapporteurs are the clients of this legal sub-team, or kind of the lead clients, if you will, or the coordinating clients, if we want to, you know, worry about some words, which, of course, we do. So they need to feel like they are getting, like they are not working in a vacuum, and that it isn't just a matter of mailing questions into the lawyers and getting questions back, getting answers back that sometimes seem to be off the mark because the lawyers aren't steeped in the actual work that we're doing. So we need to disintermediate the lawyers and really get them in. I think there may be even times when it would be important to have the lawyers be on some of the working party calls, not on all of them. A, we can't afford that. B, that takes away their time to actually, you know, produce their work product. But I think there are times, and we should think of, have the rapporteurs think about that. When would it be good to have the lawyers on those calls? Because I think having them on the whole CCWG calls are fine, but the actual, you know, where the work is being done, where, you know, particular issues are being debated, when things are really ripe for the lawyers to come in and kind of clear things up, they could be doing it right there and not with, you know, a bunch of written questions. You know, this is, lawyers don't generally work, you know, primarily by written questions. Clearly there has to be, there's a lot of writing going on. I've got an office full of paper. But at the same time, it's a collaborative exercise, and it's working at the tip of the spear where the ideas are being fashioned. That's important. So we need to figure out how to get the lawyers on the ground cost-effectively and at the right times. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. I couldn't agree more with you. I think, as you said, the next link in this exercise are our rapporteurs. And while I agree that it might not be the best use to have the lawyers in all of their calls, I really support the idea of having our rapporteurs thinking on a call or a couple of calls maybe as they see fit, having the lawyers with them just to iron out those details that they would need to, of course, not only feel, but in fact know that they are doing something that's legally viable and that will be implemented correctly when time comes. So I don't know if there's anyone that wants to comment further on this issue. No? Okay. So
Barry's hand is up.
I'm sorry. Okay. Barry, could you please take the floor?
This is in regards to the timeline. Just some introductory comments when you're ready to go.
Excellent. Please go ahead, Barry.
Thank you, Leon. Barry Cobb, for the record. So I just want to make a couple of quick statements as it relates to the discussion about the timeline for the legal subcommittee call. I believe just about all of you were on the CCWG call about 48 hours ago or less or so, and this was presented during that call. There's been a couple of small adjustments to this timeline. I'll draw your attention to the month of June. That previous version had a white block in there leading up to Buenos Aires, where we would deliver a draft proposal to the SOs and ACs, and there was discussion on that call that that likely wouldn't be the case. I think Jordan had mentioned that, but it'd be more about summarizing public comments and other materials to facilitate discussions with the SOs and ACs during Buenos Aires. So I'll just mention that what is certain about this timeline are the events and the times minus the intensive work weekend leading up to Buenos Aires in regards to Workstream 1 effort and the draft proposal that will be developed through there. Anything beyond Buenos Aires, the what and when is still not set in stone. I do believe it's pretty certain there will be a secondary public comment period, but when that kicks off and the duration is still in play, as well as the eventual delivery of the Workstream 1 proposal. The version that you saw the other night, I believe, had going to all the way through to the Dublin, but there are implications to that. Primarily, first and foremost, is the CWG. They are committing to the dates that we have listed here in the timeline. This extended delivery for Workstream 1 does have implications to this, and I don't believe the CWG chairs have fully digested the adjustment to the CCWG timeline. There is a call tomorrow, a CWG-CCWG chairs call tomorrow where this will be discussed. And then, of course, a secondary implication is when the Workstream 1 proposal is delivered to the board and then subsequently to the NPIA, there are some implications that need to be worked out there as well. So the short takeaway here is in terms of the timeline and how the legal subcommittee and the law firms will be working, I ask most of that discussion kind of just be focused around leading up to and shortly thereafter Buenos Aires until we have a bit more clarity about what's exactly going to be happening post-Buenos Aires. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this introduction, Barry. And I would like to ask staff to enable scrolling on timeline if that's possible. So thank you very much. So, okay, so we're now here at the beginning of April, of course. And as you see, our timeline with regards to legal input goes from middle February to mid-September. So this would be, of course, the time in which we would be providing or working with the lawyers to provide the legal advice that the working group needs. And what is of the essence at this point is, of course, to have the initial viability of the different proposals that are being worked by Working Party 1, Working Party 2, and the stress test Working Party, of course, for our first draft proposal, which would be released by April 20, so we can have the public comment starting at April 21st. But this doesn't mean, or I wouldn't think, that beginning the public comment period would be a time for us to pause the work we're doing with the lawyers. On the contrary, I would think that this is where our parallel timeline begins. And this is a time that we can see as an opportunity to, of course, follow in real time what the public is commenting to the draft proposal in order to work with the lawyers as fast as possible. So when the public comment period closes, we can at least have some heads up to the group on how the lawyers and, of course, the legal group have been following the comments and how we can propose the adjustments or address the different comments that have been raised through the public comment period. So I wouldn't think, of course, that we would make a pause at this stage, but rather to intensify our work during the public comment period. And, of course, we need to let the lawyers know that while the first draft proposal has a really aggressive timeline for them to accomplish, as well as for us, we will be having more time ahead of us to iron out the different details and needs that the legal advice implicates. And I see Greg Shadon's hand is up, and I would ask you to please take the floor. We are 10 minutes away from closing this call, so I would like to please call for making short any interventions.
Sure. This is primarily a point of clarification. Since I'm still digesting this timeline, this must have been finalized during the 3 to 4 a.m. part of the call for me of the CCWG, because it's kind of news to me. So just to clarify, the public comment period that's starting on the 21st of April for the work of the CCWG, that is going to be for a very rough draft of the draft proposal on all things in Workstream 1?
I'm sorry, my audio broke. Could you please repeat, Greg?
Sure. I was asking whether the public comment period for the CCWG starting on April 20 first is for a rough draft of the draft proposal for all of WorkStream 1.
That is correct. As far as I understand, that is correct. The public comment period that starts in April would deal with the rough draft proposal with regards to WorkStream 1.
And I assume it would probably, or hopefully, emphasize dependencies that the CWG needs to actually be able to use in order to for its proposal to make sense. But I guess that's what I would hope for, and it would hopefully inform the work that we do with the lawyers and the coordination with the CWG.
Thanks, Greg. Other comments with regards to this point? No? Okay, I see Robin is asking, and I've seen a couple of more attendees asking for the timeline. Barry has been updating this timeline, so it can be distributed, and I think he has already answered to the question of whether we can have it somewhere. And yes, I think it will be distributed tomorrow after our coordination call, and it would be available for all to, of course, take a deep dive into the details. And, well, now we're just 8 minutes away from closing this call. And just to recap and see what we're going to do next, I would like to just make a recap here. I see David McCauley's hand is up. David, could you please take the floor?
Thank you, Leon. It's David McCauley, and I can actually take my hand down because I wanted to get to the recap and what's next. So thanks very much.
Okay, thanks, David. So the recap would be that we will be telling Sidley that they will be the coordinating firm or the leading firm, if you want to call it that way, and we will be having them as the lead firm in these efforts, and of course they will have to coordinate and work in a collaboratively manner with Avra Calvin, and this is like the first agreement that we made in this call. The second agreement is that we will be not only compiling the questions in a single document as we have just discussed, but we will also prioritize, classify them, and build contextual documents that we can approach the lawyers so they can provide us with better legal advice. That would be the second conclusion here, I think. And the third conclusion is that we will be focusing on the work that is being done by the working parties at this stage. By this I mean both the mechanisms and the powers for the community. So as I stated on our call earlier today, I will be handing the lawyers the different templates that have been drafted by our working parties so they can begin to have a look at them. And of course, this will require further coordination with our rapporteurs from each working party. And I see David McCauley's hand is up at this point. David, could you please take the floor?
Thank you, Leon. David McCauley here. It's just a further thought on this, and that is, what will we instruct the lawyers coming out of this call? And I think they may be between two possible alternatives. One is that that we ask them for a holistic approach once we tell them that Sidley's going to be the sort of coordinating counsel. And the other is just continue on with questions. But I don't think either of those is yet agreed. So my question is, do we know what we're going to instruct the lawyers? Because they're expecting something from us, I believe, today. Thank you.
Thanks, David. I think, and this is a question for the wider group, I think that what we can instruct the lawyers to do is to review the different templates that have been drafted by the working parties so we can begin this series of iterations with, of course, questions and answers so we can provide the sense to the working parties on whether they are going on the right track or they need to make adjustments. Would this be a reasonable agreement so we can instruct the lawyers to do this? I see Athena's hand is up. Athena, could you please take the floor?
Yes, thank you, Leon. This is Athena. So I think that it is indeed very important that they review the templates and so on, but I think it would be also useful because in the templates we describe possible mechanisms. These mechanisms, when it comes to community empowerment, could be work under different structures. And I think it would be useful to know how each of these mechanisms would be implemented under each of these different structures. I would like. I think this analysis would be interesting for our work forward. Thank you.
Thanks, Athena. I see Greg Shetland's hand is up, and I see a discussion going on the chat with regards to the timeline. So, Greg, could you please take the floor?
Thank you, Greg Shetland here. I think that we give them the templates. We give them access to the better understanding of what our work parties are doing. I think the questions kind of naturally apply, by and large, two aspects of the work and can be used to aid in advising on the models and templates that are and documents that are being worked on. So I don't think we have to make a choice between templates and questions. But I think that the questions in the abstract are not going to be nuanced and coherent enough. The questions, like leaves off a tree, where the branches and the trunk are our proposal and the various pieces being worked on, is to my mind the model. So they shouldn't ignore the questions, but again, and I think that will self-prioritize the questions. The questions that help us get to the answer of what our proposal is will be the ones that get primary focus, and the ones that help the uncomfortable be comforted or help those with axes to grind to holster their axe will kind of come second. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. I see Robin hand is up. I please ask you to keep it short, Robin. We have 1 minute to go, and we need to make a hard stop.
Thank you. Yes, I just think it's important that the attorneys see the specific templates that we've prepared for some of these mechanisms so they can really get an understand what it is that we're talking about, and we can really get good advice on what it is that we have in mind. And I say this as somebody who drafted the template for what we're calling the community veto process. And so within that template, there's step one, step two, step three. There's this check, this, that check. There's the board has the final approval at the end. It is in going through the template and understanding what it is that we've envisioned that they can tell us if that complies with California law or if we're way off base or if one part of it is not right or whatnot. So, and I think that's probably going to be true for the other mechanisms that have been drafted as well, is that it will help them to understand specifically what we mean and what is it that we have in mind when we say a veto process. And maybe we need to tweak that, what it is that we have in mind. But I think they need to understand where we're coming from first. And, I mean, they're only like a one-page document. It's not like they're going to be overloaded with information, but it is precisely the details and information that I think they need to give us the kind of advice that we're asking them to give us. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Robin. We need to do a hard stop now. The staff needs to prepare this room for another call. I thank you, everyone, for your attendance. Of course, we will send out the notes and the recording, and action items will be activated in short. And I'll talk to you, everyone, soon. Have a great afternoon, evening, or night, depending on which part of the world you are. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Leon. Thanks.
Thank you, Barry. Thanks, Phil. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.